dear congregation, the theme for the sermon this morning is led to the praise of Christ. Led to the praise of Christ. 3 points of attention, 3 thoughts. First, the man Simeon. The man Simeon. Second, God's work in Simeon. God's work in Simeon. And third, the speaking of Simeon. Led to the praise of Christ. First, the man Simeon. Second, God's work in Simeon. And third, the speaking of Simeon. The man Simeon. It must have been a very special and impressive moment. That moment that is described in verses 27 and 28. And Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, Savior, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took Simeon him up in his arms and blessed God. And then full of that child and the overflowing goodness of the Lord, Simeon begins to praise God with that beautiful hymn. A beautiful hymn. Let us first follow Simeon in his moments leading up to this impressive moment. An older man. You see him walking through the narrow streets of Jerusalem, climbing up to that holy place, the Temple Mount. He climbs the steps to the temple complex and enters through one of the gates. And then he walks on a huge plaza called the Court of Gentiles, or the Outer Court. It is huge. It's surrounded all the way at four sides by an imposing colonnade. Many people we see walking there. People from all over the world. It's probably crowded. It's always crowded there. The Jews, among all these people, they make their way to the actual temple building in the middle of that court. And the Jews, because the Gentiles are not allowed to enter that temple building, but the Jews among them, they enter through another gate, and then they come in another smaller square called the Court of Women. And still, the women stay there in that court. They are not allowed to go further, but the men, and they are of course all Jewish men, they walk on and they pass through a third gate. And there they enter the Court of Israel. Small square adjacent to the Court of Priests. And from a distance, standing between these men on that Court of Israel, you could see the altar of burnt offering, and the bronzen laver, and of course the sanctuary, the place of the holy and the holiest. impressive. But Simeon didn't go that far. He pauses and he stops at the court of women. How did he came there? Why did he leave his house and journey through these narrow streets, climb up the stairs and enter the temple complex? Well, he was driven by the Holy Spirit. He felt an inner spiritual tension. And then there at that court of women, we see him standing among many people. We hear voices, several languages and many voices. We hear music. We hear the sound of animals. But suddenly Simeon catches a couple entering. Joseph and Mary. And see, Mary is carrying a child. And he, Joseph, has two doves with him. Why did they enter this temple complex? Well, they came for a dual purpose. They are there, first of all, for the purification of Mary, and secondly, for the presentation of their son, Jesus. And both according to the law of the Lord. And according to the law of Moses, they are going to bring one dove for a burnt offering and one dove for a sin offering. You can read all of that in Exodus 13. And these two offerings of these two doves were needed for the cleansing, the ceremonial cleansing or purification of Mary. And secondly, according to the same law of Moses, they came to present their firstborn boy, Jesus, to dedicate him to the Lord. And they redeemed him from the Lord with a sum of 5 shekels, because he was set apart holy as a firstborn son. And then, at that moment, there, on that court of women, standing there in that crowd, this moving and special moment takes place. This man, Simeon, driven by the Holy Spirit, sees that child, Jesus, and he knows immediately, this is the Savior. This is my Savior. Nobody told him, but the Spirit. He knew it. And he takes that child, the Savior of Israel, the Savior of the world, his Savior. See that old man standing? He has his Savior in his hand. And probably he pressed that child to himself. And he kept it close to his heart. This was the moment he was looking for his entire life. God had let him know what a special promise, that he would see the Messiah before he died. And you know that God fulfills his promises always. And God did fulfill this very special promise. Oh, and then these words, so moving. See, again, that old man. And the Savior of the world, his Savior, close to his heart. And then we hear him singing, Lord, now I'm old, here I am. Thou fulfill thy word. Now I see my Savior. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I see my Savior. Now I can go in peace. According to thine word, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation comes from God. which thou hast prepared. There's nothing from Simeon. It's all from God. Thou hast prepared that thy salvation before the face of all people. And see him standing there between so many people. And he is even a light to lighten the Gentiles. They were out there on that outer court, not allowed to be there. But this child was a light also for them. And he is a light for the glory of thy people Israel. Now Simeon can die. This was what he was waiting for. Just this one moment to see and appropriate his Savior. More he did not need. To hold that precious Savior to his hand. Who is the Savior? That child he is holding in his hands, close to his heart. That child, isn't it amazing? That baby, just a couple of weeks old, isn't it amazing? He is the suffering servant. He is the God anointed priest. This small babe, oh, he will suffer. And there he is on the temple complex, amid so many sacrificial lambs. And here is the Lamb. And Simeon holds the Lamb of God for the sin of the world in his hands. He knew the words of Isaiah 53. Simeon, like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of me and of us all. And he holds that suffering servant and the Lamb of God in his hand. It's his lamb. The child, the baby, is not only the suffering servant and the priest. It is the God-anointed prophet. His words are so strong and powerful. Isaiah sings about him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That baby in Simeon's hand. The Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him in a special measure. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And Simeon holds that prophet in his hands, close to his heart, as if to hear his words already there. That babe there in Simeon's hand is a king. The God-anointed king. And Simeon knew, based on the Old Testament, he knew this child is the ruler of the world. He is the righteous king, the king of peace. He knew the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord because of this child. Amazing, this moment. But who is Simeon? Until now, we actually only spoke about the work of a triune God, the Holy Spirit in Christ. But who is Simeon? Who is Simeon? It is so sobering and so comforting and so encouraging that Simeon is an ordinary person, unknown to most or maybe all of the people there in that temple complex. He's not prominent. He's not rich. He's not famous. We read in verse 25. Behold, see, there was a man, a man. It's amazing, right, that this story begins with these words. There was a man. A man. What do we read in God's word about man? There was a man. We read about man. There is none righteous. Not even one. Romans 3. Every man, Jew, Gentile, young, old, male, female, no exception, unrighteous. Simeon is in himself unrighteous. And he, this unrighteous man, unrighteous in himself, holds the Savior in his arms. And he knows it is my Savior. My Savior. For this unrighteous man, how are we here this morning? Are we here as righteous people? Or did we come here this morning hungry and thirsty? To see the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe for the first time, or anew and afresh on this last day in 2023. Was it your prayer this morning, O Lord, may I see thy precious Son and child, Jesus? May I appropriate him as my Savior. May I hold him on the last day. I can't leave 2023, Lord, before I know that he is my Savior. Then I can depart 2023 and enter 2024, but not earlier. Simeon. It's remarkable. A man in himself, unrighteous like each one of us, but he was changed. Changed! The work of the Lord, because we read about him, and the same man was just and devout. He was righteous, just in his daily life. Righteous. He dealt with his neighbors according to the love, to the law of the Lord. In other words, he loved his neighbor as himself. And that marked his life. There was righteousness and love in his life. What a witness. Can we say that, by the way? Looking back in 2023... that we are by God's grace righteous, that we live just, that we love our neighbor. But it's not only this, because this is horizontal, right? It's about his daily life. But far more important, we read that he is devout. He is, in other words, God-fearing. And that's more important. He has learned by grace alone to fear the Lord. In other words, he loves God above all. He knows him as the God of glory. The God who is sovereign in everything he does. And he knows the Lord as a God full of compassion, mercy, grace, overflowing in goodness. That's about his vertical relationship with God. The most important thing, when we look back in 2023, can we say, I led a devout life? That's grace alone. Well, this righteousness and piety of Simeon are closely connected to another thing we read. We read, right? He was righteous, he is devout, and then we read, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation. That's the comfort to be brought by the great Comforter with a capital letter. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And he was waiting for that consolation. For the great Comforter. And therefore this moment is so dear and special. He waited. We do not know how long. For many years probably, right? For the Comforter. He knew his sin and misery. And he needed, he was in need of a Comforter. And here he holds the Comforter in his hands. Then you can leave this year. Then you can leave this life. Once you know that Comforter. Oh, of course, Simeon knew the words in Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Hear Simeon, his warfare is accomplished. The battle is over. Her iniquity is pardoned. In that child, his sin is forgiven. His iniquity is pardoned. For we continue to read in Isaiah 40, she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Simeon has received double for all his sins. You see, received, not earned, received. What a lesson here, right? For God, nothing is impossible. A man. Are you such a man? A sinner. An unrighteous man. Radically changed into a righteous and pious man. And that change is closely related to what? The effort of Simeon? No. To God's word and God's promises. That God would give a Comforter. The Messiah. In whom is comfort and forgiveness of sins and righteousness and peace. And Simeon knew the word of God. He lived by the word of God. What a joy. What a joy. Must it have been for Simeon to, led by the Holy Spirit, see that child, the Savior, his Savior, and to hold it. Do you hold Jesus in your arms of faith? This morning, today, the last day of 2023. It's all grace. Well, let's move on to the second thought. God's work in Simeon. How did Simeon get to the point of being righteous and devout and expecting the consolation of Israel? How did he come that far? And in extension of that question, how did he come to leave his house, to go up to the temple complex, and there to see that child, and to hold it in his hands? Well, the answer is clearly given to us in the scripture read in your hearing. It is remarkable that three times in verses 25 through 27, we read about the Holy Spirit. And with these threefold mentioning of the Holy Spirit, we see how God works in the life of a man. A sinner, an unrighteous man. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And of course, I'll come back on that. The Holy Spirit uses means mainly the Word of God. But first, the Spirit. We read verse 25c. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Right? We read, behold, there was a man. And a righteous man like us. Whose name was Simeon. God heard, or God hears. God hears our prayers. Simeon, God hears. And the same man was just and devout. A change worked by God, brought about by God. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost, the first time the Holy Ghost is mentioned, was upon him. That's remarkable. In the Old Testament, and basically we are here in Old Testamentic days, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon the man. But it was always short, and it was exceptional. The Holy Spirit came, by example, upon kings when they were anointed, or priests, or prophets when they prophesied. But it was always short. But here with Simeon, we get the strong impression that the Holy Spirit rests permanently on him. Permanently, because we read thrice about the Holy Spirit. This is extraordinary. Extraordinary. We might think, you're right about it. You might think of the words of Joel. Joel 2, verse 28. Write these words. Spoken of by the Apostle Peter at the great day of Pentecost. But listen to them. And it shall come to pass afterward, the time of Jesus the Messiah, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions. It is as if here with Simeon, we already get a taste of what will happen at Pentecost and after Pentecost. It's like he is the first fruit of Pentecost already here. The Holy Spirit comes upon him and dwells in him. But regardless, the most important thing is that we see clearly that it is the Lord that begins with Simeon. The Lord gives him, it's a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit works rebirth, regeneration. Regeneration. Faith is in the end God's work. It's not our work. It is his sovereign free will. Salvation does not start with anything of us. If we could only see this more, there will be more surrender to God, and we would have more fruitful lives. If we only would see more, we are sinners. Salvation is God's work. Gracious, we have a gracious one, it is a gracious one-sided work of God. But let's continue to read. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, the second time the Holy Spirit is mentioned here, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Lord had spoken to Simeon personally and promised to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a special promise. Here, in other words, comes God's word. God's word. Salvation is through God's word. In the Old Testamentic days, it was right, God's spoken word through the mouth of the prophets, or through dreams, or visions, or oftentimes direct by God, or through angels. But in our days, we have these 66 books, the full word of God. How does God change man and work salvation? Through his word. This is what the Holy Spirit uses, the word of God. Here are the promises of God. And the Holy Spirit uses the word of God and all the precious promises there to open our eyes for God, for Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then, the third time, verse 27. And he came by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit, into the temple. It is the Spirit that guides him in his daily life. This is the Spirit of sanctification that guides him. You see how beautifully, beautifully portrayed here. The work of God through the Spirit in a man, a sinner. It is God who begins with regeneration and rebirth. It is God who opens his word for us. He works, the Holy Spirit works through his word, through God's word. And it is the Spirit who guides daily. It's the Spirit of sanctification and guidance. How clearly displayed and depicted we see how God works. Salvation. He comes blowing into our heart with his Holy Spirit. Never to leave that heart and that sinner. He comes with his word full of promises. He makes God's word so powerful that it changes our life. Simeon's life was changed from the moment on that he really understood God's promises. And from that moment on, it was a waiting. Waiting, an active waiting. A battling with God. A struggle with God. God, fulfill thy promises to me, sinner. That's Simeon's life. That's Simeon's life. And that same Spirit, from that moment on, will leave that sinner into the path onto the path of righteousness. He will work out sanctification. It is the same Spirit. He will take from Christ and give it. What a lessons. Just to mention a few lessons, first of all. Dear congregation, the work of the Holy Spirit is indispensable. Pray always for the Holy Spirit to work in you, that he might work out salvation here in Boaz, in your family, with your parents, with your siblings, with your children, in you personally. Oh, Holy Spirit, come, fill my heart, work in me, rebirth. Make me hungry and thirsty for thy word. Sanctify me, guide me all the days of my life, that I may wait upon thee. That's the first lesson. The Holy Spirit and prayer for the Holy Spirit is indispensable. The second lesson. Life from God's word and trust in God's promises is indispensable. It is the way how God works salvation. Is it true? It is through his word and the promises. Simeon, he knew the prophecies in the Old Testament. He knew them. And he lived by them. And he held unto them. Unwavering. He knew the Lord will fulfill his promises. And he did. He did. Oh, maybe the last moment of his life. But the Lord gave him to see the Messiah. The Savior. What a joy. There's a third lesson. A hunger and thirst for Christ, a longing for him, are indispensable. That's the third mark of a devout and righteous man. you're hungry and thirsty for Christ. Simeon's life was a life hungering and thirsting for Christ. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, amazing, an unknown man, unknown, but known by God. And he holds the Christ, the Savior of the world, in his hands. Amazing. Let's move on to the third thought. The speaking of Simeon. The speaking of Simeon. Simeon. When he holds Jesus in his arms, close to his heart, he begins singing. What better to do than to sing? He starts singing a beautiful hymn. Deep words. Deep words. Laden with meaning. Just a few things about him. He begins, verse 29 and 30. He begins to sing, Lord. It actually says, my master. Who is our master? For Simeon it was clear. God, the God of Israel, was his master. Master. Young people, when you wrestle with sin, just address God as your master. And wrestle with him. My master. Don't let me go. Hold me. That I do not give in to sin. Master. Lord. He continues, now, because he saw the Christ, the Savior, his Savior, now, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Before it was a battle, wrestling with the word of God. But now, peace. Perfect peace. Eternal peace. According to thy word, for mine eyes, and you hear the wonder, right? Mine eyes. Mine eyes. That have seen so many sin. I sinned through my eyes. But now, mine eyes have seen thy salvation for me. Nowadays, many people have a bucket list, right? A bucket list. A list of things you want to do or to experience in your life. Well, Simeon had a bucket list. Just one thing on that bucket list. To see the Savior. Young people, what is on your bucket list? I hope that you can say, standing on the threshold of a new year, Pastor, just one thing, that I may know that Christ is my Savior. If that is on your bucket list, God will certainly see your hunger and thirst and come with Christ. You can be sure about that. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Please, young people, put Christ on your bucket list. Amazing, huh? To see the salvation that comes from God. Why did he put seeing the Savior on his bucket list? Because he knew, I fail. He knew the law of God, but he couldn't live according to that law. He knew himself. He knew that he was weak, that he was a sinner. He knew it. He knew of indwelling sin. He knew. He wrestled with it. And he knew without God and his grace and his mercy, without the Savior, I'm lost forever. And therefore, his life was a wrestling with that God. For forgiveness of sin, for peace, for righteousness. And here he obtains his desire. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Here he is ransomed from bondage. Now he knows my sins are paid for and forgiven. And now, because of that, he is released from his duty. The watchman can now leave his guard post. Now he can meet the Lord. He continues to sing, "Thy salvation which thou hast prepared before all nations." You see, again, underline, thy salvation. It is not your salvation. Yes, it is personally for you, that's important, but not worked by you. It is God's salvation. He saves. None of us are able to contribute even the slightest thing to salvation. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. We go against God and against salvation. We are enemies of salvation. But God works unilaterally. You see, that's why election is such a great gift. God works unilaterally. Salvation. It is a powerful act from His side. And therefore we pray, give thy spirit. Open thy word. I plead on who thou art. Thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before all nations, before the face of all people. He's not only a Savior, Simeon, not only of the Jews, but for all people. And here we are, Grand Rapids, December 31, 2023, Michigan, United States. He has prepared, God, salvation for the face of Grand Rapids. And in conclusion he sings, "He is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel." How sad it is that only a remnant of the people of Israel came to see Jesus as the Messiah. How sad. And it's the same thing even until today. Right, we read here that Christ, Jesus, is the glory of the people of Israel. But please read, it says thy people. There are still promises for the people of Israel. How often do you pray for Israel? In these almost unbearable and difficult circumstances, pray for Israel. They are God's apple of his eye. Please pray for them. There are still promises for them. Read Romans. Plead with God for the peace and the welfare of Israel. It's such a small minority that acknowledge Jesus as the glory, as their glory, their Savior. But Simeon sings, he is not only the glory of the people of Israel, he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles, right? You remember. They were not allowed to enter the actual temple complex, the actual temple building. They were outside. There was even a sign that the temple building was forbidden for Gentiles. They indeed stayed in darkness. But here is Jesus, and he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. How true it is that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And there is one thing that matters, that we bow our knees before Jesus, the Messiah, the suffering servant who came to suffer and to die for a man, for an unrighteous man, for sinners. Even now, at the last day of 2023, there is the possibility to bow your knees. That's the best way to enter 2024. Well, before I say amen, these are not the last words of Simeon, right? Because we read that he blessed Mary, his mother, and then we read, let's pay shortly attention to these last words of Simeon. Verse 34 and 35. And Simeon blessed them, Mary and Joseph, and their child, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts will be, or may be, revealed. It says there that this child that Simeon holds in his arms, close to his heart, his Savior, but that Savior is unto a fall and the rising or resurrection again of many in Israel. In other words, many will fall. What about you? It is one of two. Either we stumble on Jesus and we fall. He's a stumbling block. And we just continue our life as we always did. Maybe some outward piety, but inward, you continue your way without God, without Christ. Then you stumble on him. Or we read unto a fall and resurrection, a rising up of many. And we have heard that rising up is God reaching out to people that in their experience stumble and cry out. And God reaches out through Spirit and Word. And he is the one that rises you up. He is the one. But we could also translate these words a little bit different, right? It is translated here in the King James. Of course, a good translation, but oftentimes there are more possibilities. It is translated, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. But you could also translate, and then it is really a serious warning. This child is set for the fall and destruction of many in Israel. This is a perfect possible translation. This child is set for the fall and destruction of many in Israel. And we see it happening now in Israel. The past 2,000 years. How many did recognize Jesus as their Savior? A handful. That's it. But what about us? Many, many. We read always in the Bible that a remnant will be saved. It's just a minority. Look to the church in the United States. It's such a small minority. What a privilege it is that you are together here in this house dedicated to God, to the service to him. What a privilege it is that you are baptized and that God set you apart and promised, I am your father, but please be my child. What a privilege it is to hear his word and to receive that invitation. Come to me, O all ye ends of the world, and be saved. Come to me. This is the place where the Holy Spirit works. God's word is opened, and the Spirit applies it to the hearts. What about you? Is there hardening? Do you continue your way in unbelief? Or do you bow down? Do you humble yourself? confess and acknowledge on this last day in 2023, I am a wayward sinner and a rebel. Lord, have mercy upon me. Who is that babe, Jesus, for you? Is it your wish and your longing to hold Jesus in your arms, close to your heart, and to follow him all the days of your life? Who is this Jesus for you? Amen. Let's seek the Lord.